Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is sponsored by Bubble, the babysitting app that helps you discover trusted local babysitters around you. They say it takes a village to raise a child. The reality in the 21st century is that most of us no longer live in a village. And if we do, our village doesn't get involved like they used to. Because being a parent is hard, and however good at it you are, you'll need a break at some point. Maybe to go out for dinner with your partner, to go for a run, or to have some uninterrupted time at your computer just to get to the bottom of your emails. And that's where Bubble is a lifesaver. It makes it easy for you to find amazing childcare whenever you need it. This clever app lets you plug into your social and community networks to find sitters trusted by your friends. You can review all available sitters and see which friends you have in common. Each sitter has their identity verified and background checked before their profile goes live, and every sit is tracked and insured. The best part is that you can pay your sitter easily and securely through the app at the end with no awkward fumbling for cash. So log on to Bubble. You can get more information at joinbubble.com or download the app. Just search Bubble Babysitting on App Store. And for £10 off your first booking, use the code PARENTHOOD. It's all capital letters, one word. Thanks to Bubble. Hello and welcome to The Parenthood. Does anyone else feel like the adjective that sums up modern life is rushing? I can't be the only one who feels like the words I use the most to my children are hurry up. And the more podcasts I do and the more experts I speak to, the more I reflect on what we can actually do to be great parents, and the more I feel that we should be slowing down. I posted this on Instagram a few weeks ago and had a huge response. People who felt that this was exactly what we needed to be doing, but also that it felt like society was encouraging us to do the opposite. There's so much pressure on children today to achieve so much. Sport, music, drama, coding, French, dance, the list goes on and on. But does it really benefit children to be pushed to this extent? Do they really benefit from the opportunities we're encouraging them to get involved in? Or would they benefit instead from time that's not structured? Time in which they can discover their passions, allow their brains to develop in their own unique way. Well, with me today is someone who's a great fan of slowing down. Kelly Terranova learnt the hard way that the simplest things in life are the sweetest, but only when they're taken away from her. She's since focused her energy in helping adults and children to find contentment and freedom in their lives. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure to meet you. And I kind of came across your Instagram account, which is all to do with sort of slowing down and savoring the simple things in life that we often take for granted. But how did this all come about? How did you sort of see the light? Because it's not easy to see the world like that.
No, and I think it's actually a constant process, because I think the world is just getting faster and faster and faster, and everything's getting bigger and better and more grand. And it's something that, even when something has happened that's made you see that, you have to consciously continue to acknowledge that. For me, I had a fairly wonderful upbringing. And then at the age of 18, was told that my mum had a severe fatal degenerative neurological condition that I was 50% at risk of having, and that she would have until she died. And I guess for me, that was the rug being pulled under my feet moment in my life. And as an 18-year-old girl, was the worst possible thing that could happen. At 18, being told that your mum's going to die is, for in my world at that time, the worst thing. And I think very quickly I learned that we control so little of our world. And I think we are potentially in a world now that's breeding that control. We want control over everything. We want control over our own lives, our jobs, you know, our finances, and our children. And I think that taught me very quickly that I wasn't in control. And from that, I think I just realized all those things that I was going to miss about her and that I loved about her. And none of those things involved anything other than an ordinary moment. And so I kind of wanted to bring that to fruition, really, for the modern world. And I think that health is something we're so conscious of. We all go to the gym and eat well and think, well, I need to be as healthy as I can be. But again, that's more pressure and I need to be the best I can be. But actually, what about our mental health and our emotional health and our spiritual health? That is totally important in equal measure. And it's about making sure that we are taking care of our well-being in the whole sense. And a lot of that comes from letting go and not pushing ourselves at the gym until we feel sick and, you know, make sure we have that cake with our friend and laugh until we wet ourselves. All those things are just as wonderful as everything else. So, yeah, I kind of just made a journal. Journaling is what I'm most passionate about. And I created this journal, which I now sell online. And people just really liked it and took to it. And I never intended it to be anything other than for my close friends and family. And now, 2-3 years down the line, it's something that's sold all around the world. And that still blows my mind that it's been sold around the world.
Something so ordinary. Yeah. And I love the idea of an ordinary moment and celebrating that, because I think so often there's pressure on children that every moment has to be extraordinary. You need to be, you know, putting doing your hardest to learn music or cello or whatever it is. And when you say, you know, celebrating that ordinary moment, it is actually very, very important. I mean, you're now a mother mm-hmm. of Freddie, who is
19 months old. Yep.
And I see so often, you know, teaching the bump class, that those ordinary moments, we wish them away. That we slightly think this is so boring, and look at Instagram and all my friends are doing these amazing things and my life is so ordinary. But
and I just think that we are at risk of wishing our life away when we do that. I think one of the biggest things that it's Huntington's disease that my mum has. One of the biggest things that taught me was that if we constantly rush, where are we rushing to? Because the only thing that's inevitable that we're all going to reach is death. So are we just rushing to die? Is that what we're doing? Because we're alive now, we're alive today, it's here in this moment. And if we just lift up our eyelids and look around, there's so many wonderful things that actually, if today was my last day and I was going to be led on my deathbed looking around, they're the things that I'd miss. I wouldn't wish that I had, you know, more stuff, a bigger house, a better holiday, a bigger car, a better job. I'd wish that I saw one more sunrise or that I spent one more day with my children. That's all that would matter to me. And I think we have to consciously acknowledge that in this day and age, because particularly like you said with social media, it looks like everyone has more stuff. And if we use social media as this metric for our happiness, there's always going to be someone with more. So we're inevitably going to be unhappy if we do that. So we kind of have to take ourselves away from that two-dimensional world into our real world and absorb all the things that are wonderful that we're lucky to have and remember how lucky we are to have those things.
And I think, you know, a lot of people listening to this will think, oh my God, she's totally right. I certainly do. But I also think it's hard for people in the 21st century because it has changed. Parenting has changed. Life has changed. Yeah. Expectations of what we should achieve has changed. And I think it would be quite good to put this into perspective, because I think there's a lot of guilt associated with being a parent. And I think, you know, I wouldn't want people to be listening to this thinking, oh, I feel so guilty. I think what's important to maintain is that, you know, it's tough. You know, there's a lot more pressure when it comes to school. I mean, you used to be a primary school teacher, yeah. Didn't you?
Yeah, and I think school has changed massively. I think the curriculum is so heavily focused on how academic a child is and how much we can push children as a country, where we want to constantly perform better than another country, and there's pressure on how are we going to raise standards, how are we going to raise scores, and we don't actually look at the individual. You know, when I was a primary school teacher, one of the biggest lessons that just taught me everything about the way education is going is I was in a classroom where we'd had a certain chunk of children that had been above average 1 year. My next class came in the next year and they said, well, we had 10 of those last year, so we need 11 this year. And I thought, what? They're different children. How can we possibly box them into... Oh, which 11 are you going to pick? And I just refused. And I thought, I can't do this. I want to nurture children. I want them to learn to develop their own individuality. And I think that adds on to pressure for us. You know, so much has changed in the 21st century. Even with social media, our lives are on show. We're on show to everybody. So then that breeds more of a feeling of guilt, because when we get stuff wrong, which inevitably we do as children and as adults, we feel like we're on show. Can we really tell the truth? Can we say that I've done wrong? But actually, there's so much freedom in just accepting the highs and lows of life. All the things to be grateful for and all the things that are wonderful and ordinary can be soaked up so much better when we accept that not everything's fun all the time and not everything's good and we're not going to get everything right. And I think there's so much pressure to be perfect, to get things right, to be the best, again, to be bigger, better, grander in every way in the 21st century. It really is no wonder that we are all feeling this way. And I still feel it now. Like I say, I have to consciously acknowledge that that's what I'm doing and pull myself away from it. And I think we can't escape that now. And we have to be really realistic with ourselves and kinder to ourselves when we do fall off the wagon, or when we do get caught up in the rush, or when we do something that doesn't serve ourselves or our children as well as we might hope. It's totally normal. And we just got to give ourselves a bit of space, I think.
I think there's also a lot of pressure when it comes to being a parent. You know, there's this idea that our children are born sort of malleable and it's our job to turn them into amazing people and give them these skills, and that they have this sort of unique time in their life where it's much easier to learn a language when they're little. But as a result, it means that we've sort of piled so much pressure onto them. You know, I was reading the other day that in the sort of 70s and 80s, there was the idea that you as parents could make your kids clever. And, you know, you had a real opportunity to do this. And, you know, that was the advent of the educational toys. We were talking about it earlier, but there was a kind of program called Baby Einstein, which now I think about it is just ridiculous. And it was basically a sort of cartoon with classical music, but people got obsessed with it. It was a hugely profitable thing that was eventually bought by Disney. But then they sort of started to realize that, you know, educational toys can't make your kids cleverer. It is not, unfortunately, as easy as that. You can't plonk them in front of an app and suddenly you end up with Einstein. But actually, you know, if anything, a lot of these sort of apps and things that were making a lot of money were depriving kids of the sort of time and brain space to make them sort of individuals. But I think what they did realize was that by fostering insecurity in parents, you can make a lot of cold, hard cash. And that is, I think, very much pushing this stress. Absolutely. That parents feel you have to buy this, you have to let them have this experience. I mean, coding, listen, I know it's important, but I slightly feel, well, what if your child is going to be an artist and not a coder? Do they really need to be doing coding? Yeah. Really?
And I totally agree with you on that. And interestingly, wasn't it Einstein that had that quote, about a fish climbing a tree, if you judge a fish by how it can climb a tree, then it's not going to be clever. That's the wrong quote. But it's something about how we're all individual and we all have our own skill set that needs to be harnessed. And if we're having a program called Baby Einstein and we're saying that that kind of academic route is intelligence, then we're telling them that if they're a brilliant artist or they're a brilliant horse rider or they're brilliant exactly, all these things are so important and have careers that can follow from that, we're telling them that that's not important. And I think this is a thing that's really key, is that we need to trust ourselves as parents that we know what's best for our children. And I think the pressure to be the same as everyone else or to do what someone else is saying is right is where we need to kind of let go. No one knows our child better than us. And I think we also need to be kinder to ourselves and remember that any pressure we do put on them comes from a place of love. It's because we love them and we want the best for them. And so we shouldn't feel guilty and tell ourselves that we're doing it. You can't parent wrong. You parent in the best way that you possibly can. And the only thing you can do is try and come away from what everyone else is doing and just focus on your child and what they need. And for some children, going to lots of after-school clubs is the best thing for them, because they may not do well at school and they may struggle academically. So if you find something that they're brilliant at, great, take them to that, because that's going to raise their self-esteem. They can take ownership. That's an environment where they can thrive. and maybe turn that into something that they do for a job one day. And that's wonderful. But if you're taking them to these things because you think that they should have lots of strings to their bow and they should make sure that they've dabbled in everything, and then you're cracking up whilst you're trying to work and take them, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You've got to just come back to what they want and who they are, what environment they thrive in, and trust that you know them better than anyone else. None of what any of the experts say matters, in my opinion. You know your child better. And you can't give them anything better than your time and a relationship together and spending time with them, which is free. Spending time building that relationship will bring you that bond, and you'll have conversations and they'll say, I really want to try this. I fancy giving this a go. And you can say, well, don't worry that you're not great at that. We can try this. Do you want to have a go at this? And it's totally in your little world then, your little bubble, something that you've created that works for your family. And then again, that brings it back to ordinary life. It's got nothing to do with what anyone else is doing out there in the 21st century. It's you and your home and your family and what makes you guys happy. And that has to be individual. We are all individual in our own way, as parents and as children. And it's about celebrating that individuality and not trying to mold what 21st century says is what is successful.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And what, you know, what is interesting is this individuality, and it's something that I'm always putting across in the bump class, that, you know, all your children will be born very different, very unique. We might have created them, but they're not us. They're not their brother or sister. And just because one child likes X doesn't mean the other child's going to do it. So, you know, as you said, sitting and listening and reacting to their individual needs and not anticipating them is Absolutely. Probably one of the most important things we can do.
One of the things I built, it's the key element of the, I've got a journal for children now and a journal for adults, is that it's about building this scaffolding for happiness. So in the adult journal, it encourages you to build a scaffolding for your life. So what do you do for yourself mentally? What do you do for yourself emotionally, physically and spiritually? You design this whole world that you build up that holds you together, so that when things go wrong or you face adversity or hardship, which everyone in the world faces, your scaffolding holds you together. So even though you might be falling apart inside, you're going to stay standing because you've built this habitat and environment that is perfect fit for you. And the same in the child's journal, it helps them to work out, so who are you as a person? What things do people love about you? What makes you unique? What do you do for your happiness? What do you like to do in your spare time? This is really important. And my favorite page in the journal is a poem at the end, which I should have brought with me. It's on my Instagram if anybody wants to see it. And it just talks about the image in the journal. The page that's drawn for them to color in is a wolf with a moon and a lake and a teepee, and it's adventure was the theme. And it says, you know, whether you're the wolf who's the leader of the pack, or you're the moon that shines the light for others, or whether you are the river that runs wild and free, or you're the teepee that just sits quietly amongst the trees, all of you are important and all of you are valid. Which one are you? And it says, next time you are in a crowd and you see someone sitting on their own, maybe they're the wolf or the tree or the moon, but go and sit with them and have a conversation, because it's about relationships and accepting that we are not all the same and seeing that that's an amazing thing. We don't all have to have the same stuff and do the same things and chase the same goals. It shouldn't be groundbreaking to be individual. It should just be how we are, because why should we all be the same?
Well, also, how boring would it be?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's another thing that I think is such a wonderful, ordinary thing, but that we're losing because we just seem to becoming like blanket robots, all the same as each other, because of what society's saying we should be doing.
I mean, there's a lot in the media about the kind of rise of mental health issues in children, and it seems to be getting younger and younger. I'm sure, you know, social media plays a huge role in this, but it also puts a lot of pressure on us parents because we're sort of keeping an eye out on it. I mean, that for me would be disastrous. You know, you push your children because you want to achieve and they can't lose out a week's work and they've got to do coding club, and, you know, suddenly there's a mental health issue. Well, they're probably not going to go to school for a few years. If that's serious,
absolutely,
that will knock their education on the head. So what can we do, I mean, in terms of the sort of ordinary, in terms of the everyday?
I think for me, that's where journaling is really important, because if you decide to sit, even if journaling's not for you, and you decide to take that time as a parent and a child to take a moment in your day to reflect on how you're feeling, what you've been doing, you know, we very quickly, when we're going through anything that we're unsure of, turn to a screen now instead of to a person. And I think when we do that too often, we start to, our feelings are not valid anymore, because we're just saying, well, I'll just numb it and I'll just watch this and I'll see more of what everyone else is doing and I won't talk about it and it will just go away. But actually, if we can take a moment in each day to sit and talk to our children, have a conversation, put our phone down, you know, our phones are taking over our world, and I am so guilty of it as well. I fear that when Freddie can draw a picture, he's going to draw a picture of me with a phone sometimes. I have to consciously put it in another room, because I just, the habit of wanting to pick it up and check an email is just too strong. So I have to put it out the way. But I think having that conversation with them, it's so important. And in the child's journal, I think it's really important for me to say, I think positivity and gratitude journals have become a very kind of thing that's popular on the market now. And I have spent so much time using what I know from my primary education and what I know from my own experiences, making sure that these journals have real substance and that they actually can benefit a child's mental health and an adult's mental health. And one of the things that both journals say is, what do you need to let go of today? And I think that's a really important conversation to have, because part of this rat race that we're in can sometimes bring a sense of getting things right and always succeeding and never actually getting things wrong, or feeling angry or feeling sad. And we have to be careful that positivity doesn't become a feel happy all the time. It needs to be that there's positivity in saying, do you know what, I got this wrong today, or do you know what, I was really upset about this today and it really bothered me. Having a conversation and then writing it down. You can even do something physical. You can, as a family, buy a balloon and go and stand in the garden and say, what are we going to let go of this week? And actually let the balloon go and watch it go up into the sky and do something like that as a family. And it seems far-fetched, but I think because the world is so fast-paced that we're in now, we have to take control, because we don't have control over what's happening with the world, and we don't have control over what's happening in our world, but we have control over our attitude towards it. And I think that's the key. No one would necessarily want my life. Nobody wants a parent who's got a disease that's going to kill them. Nobody wants to have to, you know, run around crazy working mad hours like I do. But a lot of people would want my attitude to life. And I think that's the difference, is you've got to constantly reflect on and say, this didn't work out, this did work out. Spend that time with your children, have those conversations, allow them to feel sad, allow them to feel scared, allow them to feel uncomfortable, and give them, through your time, you'll give them a security blanket. They'll think, I'm safe. It's okay to feel uncomfortable. I've talked to mummy about it, or I've talked to daddy about it, but I know that they're there and I know that they've said that that's okay. Then they'll make braver decisions and they'll have a go at things. And It just makes life so much easier if we can spend time with each other and have conversations. And that's where journaling's so important. Children need to understand that the world's too fast, that they will feel uncomfortable.
I suppose, you know, that's what people did through religion, through prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, forgive me for doing these. Thank you for letting me have these. It was that sort of reflection and, you know, really thinking about what your day was. But also, you know, asking God to forgive you for something was a way of, I guess, letting it go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's a similar way. I remember, I'm not a religious person, but, you know, I'd always say prayers with my mother at night. And it went through that whole sort of ritual. It was 10 minutes at the end of the day of reflection and thinking about, you know, how you can be a better person.
And I think it's having faith. Like, it's a faith, isn't it? It's a faith in life. It's a faith in your ability to enjoy the life. We get given a deck of cards. That's the cards that we're given. And we can only make the best of that. And I think, you know, having faith in your ability to do life and do it wholeheartedly is a great, wonderful thing. And a lot of that, you know, if you ask any child what their favorite memories are of their childhood, you know, as they get older, they will say time with my mum and my dad. You can't give anything better than time. So it's just simplicity. It really is the simple things. It's time and talking and sharing and just giving each other the opportunity and freedom to be themselves and to express what they love and don't love and what's working out and what isn't. I really strongly believe in it.
I think that, you know, like you said, I feel there's so much pressure. Like, if we've got a weekend with the kids and we're not doing anything, we have to have an experience. Yeah. But actually then at the end of the weekend, we did this recently, we did something special. I can't remember. We went for a boat ride on the Thames. But then we had a bit of quiet time at home. And I remember I spent, you know, like an hour sitting in Iona's room and we were just chatting. And I think, you know, sorting through stuff, we're doing something with stickers. And I said, what was your favorite part of the weekend? And I was convinced she was going to say, going really fast on the boat. And she was like, I just love sitting with you and chatting, Mummy. Can we do that again? And that was the stuff
that was
free and easy and simple and that we could do every evening, actually.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, it's not necessarily what we think they enjoy the most, but what they do enjoy the most.
Absolutely. I just think that it's so hard. I don't want to sit here and be a hypocrite and say, you know, we just have slow living in our house. I just light a candle, put some eucalyptus in a vase, take a picture for Instagram, and that's it. I'm slow living. That is not how my life is. I work full time. My partner works full time. We have a busy house. We have a busy life. We can't always physically slow down our lives, but if we can slow down up here in our minds and give ourselves a bit of space and freedom, that can actually make the world of difference. And actually, you have to take stuff out. My washing basket is double the height of my washing basket, but if I'd have done all that washing, I wouldn't have spent any time with Freddie, and he is more important. I don't care about the washing. Again, when it comes to my last day on this earth, I'm not going to wish that I did one more wash.
Yeah.
I'm going to wish that I played Lego one more time with Freddie. And I think that it is a conscious thing. I still get that, oh, the washing's not done, I'm going to lose it. But then I just have to come back and say, let it go. It doesn't matter. Who cares? So what? I think it's so important. And it's tricky. It's, you know, it's a work in progress, isn't it?
And those quiet days, I think a lot of parents think, oh, what if my child's bored? What if my child's bored? But it is, you know, often you'll find things that you enjoy doing that you hadn't anticipated that you'd enjoy. For me, I find like doing something, but not necessarily a sort of organized activity. My son got really into watercolor recently. And so I bought some watercolor paper and some little watercolors. And we went through a phase like every Saturday morning, we just sit in our pajamas at the breakfast table and just all do some watercolors together. And that was a time that we could talk, you know, because you're not using all your brain. You can sit and you can have a chat. And that was often when we'd have the most important conversation, where the things around school and the things that maybe they're a bit insecure about would come out, because we're not sitting across from each other looking and having that really intense conversation. It was more that we were doing something with our hands, sort of focusing our eyes on something different. But when it's a much easier environment to go, you know, I was a bit unhappy about that thing that someone said to me, or I feel that my spelling is terrible, or whatever it is, those important things that you need to know.
And that is a spiritual activity. Painting and colouring is a form of meditation, because it does exactly the same thing that breathing does. Breathing is a simple, mindless activity in and out. Painting is colour and colour and colour and colour. And because you're focused on the simple task, that is a form of meditation. So that is why spiritually you would have felt much more calm and at ease and able to have those conversations. And in the same way, same way we, every Sunday, without fail, we have roast dinner. We have Evie with us, which is my stepdaughter, and we have a roast dinner, phones in the other room, and we sit down and then we have a pudding and we chat and we stay there until it's time to go and have a bath, and then we put the kids to bed, and we do it every single Sunday, and we have the most amazing conversations with Evie. I mean, Freddie's not quite babbling yet, but we have the amazing, most amazing conversations with her about her week and who she wants to be when she grows up and kind of her views on the world. And it's the one time every week that we properly sit together and have those chats. And when you say about quiet time and having days at home, they often turn out to be the best thing ever. And I'm very lucky in that my partner Kev is Peter Pan. He never grew up, and he's a really good person for me to be with, because sometimes life can be so serious that it's good to just break down those barriers. And a classic thing that we would do in our house if we were in is I'd go upstairs to get dressed and I'd come down and he would have created some form of ninja warrior course out of the cushions on the sofa and leftover loo rolls and blankets, and he's like, right, okay, who's going first, who's second, and we have the timer on and it becomes a big competition. And but all those things are the things that Evie loves and she'll talk about as her favorite memories, and her day will be made. We haven't spent a penny in doing that. And I think, you know, we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Maybe it's Instagram. Maybe we need a cool Instagram photo sometimes. It's like, well, we're not doing stuff and they've been out and we've been nowhere. And I just think, so what? And it's so important to me. That's why I constantly harp on about us doing ordinary things at home, because I just think there needs to be a space for that on social media. I'm not saying don't have extraordinary experiences at all, but just don't miss the ordinary ones, because they're just as special.
And don't belittle them.
Absolutely.
Because they are often the most special. And I think that when I reflect on my childhood, it is those ordinary moments that are the kind of most special. You know, cooking something with my mum, I remember so well, being like, I was so proud of her, because she I went to a birthday party and I won like a cookie in the snail race, because I was never going to run a fast race because I'm a terrible runner. And I broke it and I was so upset, and she's like, it's fine, I'll fix it, I will glue it back together. And my friends were like, you can't glue it, glue you can't eat. And she goes, no, but I can make a special type of glue out of sugar that can glue it back together. And I remember thinking, I have the coolest mum in the whole world. And it wasn't to do with like all her other amazing things. I mean, she speaks seven languages. It wasn't about that. It was about that ordinary that I just thought, wow, she's so cool. I remember my heart bursting with pride.
That's so lovely.
But I think that sentiment that we sometimes struggle with, that, you know, I think, you know, a lot of us feel that we're not quite enough, that we should be better. And then we're modelling that on our children. And so our children grow up thinking, well, I should be better. I should be better at maths. I should be better at spelling. I should be better at football. And that isn't a very healthy thing to be starting off with in life.
It's hard for us as parents. I think, you know, we are also in that 21st century world, and we are also on show and on social media. And I think a big responsibility is on our shoulders, and I think we are sometimes so hard on ourselves, and we expect us to get parenting right. When I look back to when I was a child, there's a million things that I know my mum would have done and thought I didn't quite handle that right, but I grew up all right. I still love her. My dad, he wasn't perfect, but I love him to bits. I love them because they're my parents, and I love them unconditionally, just the same way as they love me. And I think in the same way that we try not to pass judgment on our children and they don't pass judgment on us, we need to create a habitat for ourselves that we can thrive. So if we are in a circle of friends that are competitive or are making us feel that we are not enough, we need to change our circle of friends. If we work in a job where we constantly feel like we're not enough, we need to look at our career. And is that we spend so much of our life at work, we need to design an environment that really benefits us. And it is monkey see, monkey do. But we matter too. You know, I think we sacrifice so much of us to make sure our children are happy. But actually, our children are happy when we're happy. And so we're not saying us instead. We're not saying you don't matter, children. We're saying us too. We matter as well. And I just think we need to be so much kinder to ourselves. Freddie's 19 months old, and I couldn't count the mistakes I've made on both hands. You know, I've done things and thought I didn't handle that right, or I lost my temper with him, and he's a baby, he's crying, he needed me, and I just had enough. But we're human, you know. Life isn't always, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Oh my God, I can't believe I just quoted Rocky Balboa. But, but you know, it isn't. And I just think it's a good thing to say that you've got things wrong. It's a good thing to say that stuff isn't going right, because actually every time, especially online, I've said, oh, this happened today, I'm not feeling great, or this went wrong, a sea of people suddenly feel free to say the same. And so maybe everyone at the school gates is feeling the same, but no one's saying anything. And if one person just went, I can't be bothered to do this, they'd be like, me neither, let's not do it. And I just think we need to take time for ourselves to create a habitat that suits us, build a scaffolding for our happiness so that we are the happiest we can be for our children, and then cut ourselves some slack, because we're not going to get it right all the time, and we're not supposed to.
And if we did get it right the whole time, we would be teaching our children that it's not okay to ever fail.
And that it would be catastrophic to fail.
It would be awful.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's so true.
Admitting when you're wrong, apologising. You know, sometimes I really do screw up with my kids. And, you know, even Iona said to me last night, Mummy, you're a bit strict. You know, if Lou doesn't like that fish, maybe he doesn't want to eat it. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have shouted at you in that way. And that is a really important lesson.
Absolutely.
People find it very difficult to apologise. Yeah. I know adults who cannot say the S word. They will not say sorry. Because, you know, and that's so important for them to learn.
And you don't always have to be necessarily entirely wrong to say sorry. I mean, I'm on, my online presence is obviously there, and I make mistakes online sometimes. I shouted at somebody online who I shouldn't have shouted at before Christmas because I was up here with stress, and I have decided, publicly went online and said, I'm going to try and shoot from the hip less. This is my thing this year. I'm going to take more time to try and listen to other people. And I acknowledge that I was not in the best place at that point. And the person I shouted at was actually really nasty to me. But that doesn't mean that I can't say sorry, because it's a reflection of who I am, not necessarily a reflection of who they are. And I think I felt so much better in doing that, because again, I was letting it go. I was letting go of anything that was like, well, I'm right, you're wrong. It just, it doesn't matter. So what? You lost your temper, we lose our temper, you're human, apologise and move on. And I think we have to teach our children that as well.
And of course, you know, when we have these conversations with our children, you know, we are often right. We are mostly right. But, you know, if my daughter is having a tantrum, she doesn't want to eat her broccoli and she hasn't eaten any vegetables, and I'm like, just eat one bit, you know, I can still say, I'm really sorry you feel like that about broccoli. And I'm really sorry I made you broccoli when you didn't want to eat broccoli. That's not me saying, I'm sorry that I'm telling you to eat broccoli. You know, I'm still saying, my point still stands. I still want you to eat the broccoli.
Still saying tough titty,
but I
eat
get
broccoli.
It. I read something recently that really kind of struck a chord with me, especially, and it just reminded me when you're having this conversation, childbearing should not be a cross between a competitive sport and product development. And that made me laugh, because actually I do think people, we sort of slightly think we've got to make the best possible version of us. We've got to make our children look and seem and be great all the time.
But, and I think we sometimes live our failures through our children. So if we didn't do something quite right, we desperately don't want them to follow the same path, forgetting that we learned so much from that when it happened.
I mean, and thinking about what do we actually need to do to be a successful parent? I mean, I think most therapists, most psychologists agree that, you know, ultimately what children need most from us is unconditional love, so that they can live in an environment where they can make mistakes and they can admit to making mistakes. There's a sort of that no strings attached love that actually you don't get from anyone else.
No.
You don't get from your friends necessarily. You don't get from your work colleagues. You certainly don't get from the state. Family is the one.
It's your home team.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the most important thing. And if they want to do cello, grade 8, great. But I guess if they don't, then they're still enough.
Absolutely. 100%. Simplicity. Simplicity and time and love. You can't beat it.
Oh, well, Kelly, thank you so much for coming to talk to us. I really enjoyed this chat. It's made me feel so much better about shouting at my daughter this morning about putting her shoes on, because that's going to be one of the things I let go of tonight.
Perfect. I'm pleased to be of service.
And maybe she can let go of too when we journal together tonight. If you want to hear more about what Kelly is doing, do follow her on Instagram. She's at Kelly_thebeesknees. But do look at my Instagram, because I will post something with her on, and also her gorgeous journals, which not only are amazing, but they look so beautiful too. She's brought one along for me today, and I can't wait to get started. Thank you all for listening to another episode of The Parenthood. We're overwhelmed by our listening figures, climbing month on month at a rate we never anticipated. And that, I'm sure, is largely down to you, dear listeners. So please do keep on spreading the word. And if you haven't already, do subscribe, rate and review us. You can follow us on Instagram, or you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at marina.fogel. It's a great place to sort of hear what we're recording next and even give suggestions about what you want to hear. I've had some brilliant ideas from you guys. But in the meantime, from Kelly and me, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.